First to the Middle East, where a ceasefire between Israel and Palestine is minutes away from coming into effect. Egypt mediated this truce in Gaza after a weekend-long pounding of Palestinian targets, which has killed more than 30 people.
It was horrifying. They targeted the house with 5 or 6 rockets. There were body parts lying on the ground. It's horrifying.
I was at my grandfather's house when suddenly the rubble started to fall on us and we started screaming and the neighbours came to rescue us. I was saying the last prayers. I didn't expect to live. I didn't expect to live until the moment they rescued me.
That's 9-year-old Leen Matar and Ahmad Tamraz, Gaza residents who endured Israeli airstrikes over the weekend. The hostilities began when Israeli fighter jets attacked Islamic Jihad positions in Gaza, claiming the group was about to launch a terrorist attack. Omar H. Rahman is a research fellow at the Middle East Council on Global Affairs, and he joins us from New York. Thank you very much for your time this morning. This truce will begin at 11:30 p.m. local time, so in under 20 minutes. How was it brought about?
Hi, Patricia. Thanks for having me. There was negotiations with Egypt, which has been obviously a player in the Gaza Strip between factions there and between Israel for many years. And they played a pivotal role here in negotiating a ceasefire.
Is it likely to hold?
It is likely to hold, I would say, although you never know for sure. But I don't think any groups want to go back to further attacks on the Gaza Strip. But another outbreak is unfortunately inevitable because the underlying conditions never seem to be addressed between Israel and the Palestinian factions inside. And we have to remember that, you know, Gaza has been under a suffocating air, land, and sea blockade for 15 years. With severe restrictions on the movement of people and goods in and outside of the territory. And so the conditions inside Gaza are considered some of the worst in the world. And there's a 54-year-old occupation that seems nowhere near being resolved. And there doesn't seem to be inside of Israel kind of any interest, I think, in finding a political solution to this. So those underlying conditions remain, and they frequently boil over. In this particular instance, though, it didn't seem like a boil over. Israel, I'm not sure why, as you mentioned, decided to target, extrajudicially a commander within the Gaza Strip of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad. It killed him. That led to some response from the group. And so that's kind of the cause here.
Yeah, Israel claims it's killed a second senior Islamic Jihad commander, Khaled Mansour, since launching its military offensive 3 days ago. Has that been confirmed?
I think, yes, I did hear that Islamic Jihad confirmed that one of its leaders was killed. And this proceeded on Monday, actually, just a few days before, by the arrest of one of their leaders in the West Bank. So there were days in which actually there was no response from Islamic Jihad besides a kind of rhetorical response in which they demanded the release of that leader. And then Israel followed that up not sure why, but it targeted one of their leaders inside the Gaza Strip, killing him and along with some civilians as well, including a 5-year-old girl. And that led to a military response by the group. So that's what caused the situation.
Israel says it initiated this fighting against the Palestinian Islamic Jihad group because of concrete threats of an imminent attack, a terrorist attack. Has Israel provided details or evidence of that claim?
No, I haven't seen any evidence. And as I just said, it arrested one of their leaders in the West Bank in Jenin, in the Jenin refugee camp on Monday. And so between Monday and Friday, there were no attacks. So the claims of an imminent attack on Israel, I don't see any evidence for.
Gaza's ruling militant group, Hamas group, which fought an 11-day war with Israel in May 2021, is staying on the sidelines for now, which is interesting. What are we seeing here?
It is a peculiar fact of this episode that we haven't really seen before, except that Hamas has dealings with Israel. It doesn't want to get involved in more fighting. Obviously, it's responsible as the de facto leader of the Strip for its people. And it's, I think, trying to avoid any type of conflict with the Israelis. So this is between Israel and the Islamic Jihad in particular. But the fact that Hamas didn't get involved at all is rather surprising. But I think it reflects a sort of détente between Israel and Hamas, and the attempt to avoid any conflict that's going to embroil it any further.
Could this conflict with Gaza boost Israeli Prime Minister Yapid's standing ahead of elections in November as he faces off against former Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who led Israel during three of its four wars with Hamas?
It may, that's one of the kind of cynical aspects of this, that violence between Israel and the Gaza Strip, or initiations of violence or attacks by Israel in the Gaza Strip, often have to do with internal Israeli politics and nothing with a tit for tat between the two sides. Israeli politicians sometimes use it to create conditions of national cohesion, to demonstrate their security credentials. Yair Lapid is not a military leader. In fact, he doesn't really have any combat experience from his time in the army. So he may be using it to burnish his security credentials, but we're pretty far out from the November election. So to do that at this point, and also, it obviously puts Israeli civilians in danger. That would, if he is seen as responsible for, initiating an attack that led to loss of life within Israel, that could come to backfire on him. Also, politically within Israel, the government that he currently heads, which is a caretaker government, but it was preceded by a broad coalition government with Israel, included the first Arab party within Israeli politics to be part of a coalition government. And those parties would look negatively on, more attacks on the Gaza Strip, especially if seen as unwarranted. And so that could come back to backfire on him politically as well.
Omar, thank you for your time this morning. That's Omar H. Rahman, who's a research fellow at the Middle East Council on Global Affairs.
Think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.